The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire on the day that both Huddersfield Town and Leeds United have been charged with failing to control their players and staff following the touchline scrap during the West Yorkshire Derby on Sunday. We'll have fighting talk from Tom Carnoff, the editor of the72.co.uk on that incident. We'll look back at not only the West Yorkshire Derby, but also the rest of our Yorkshire teams as well. We'll also talk about all the fallout from deadline day. We'll talk returning Premier League stars into the Football League, including an interesting retirement as well. We'll have all the usual features, good days, bad days for you, along with the EFL Divisional Seasons Table. Find out more on that one very shortly from Tom Carnoff. And, of course, it wouldn't be a Tuesday night without the Chequered Trade Trophy. We'll look ahead to all of tonight's action on the FL 72. Yes, hello and welcome to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire. Sam and Tom with you for the next 60 minutes talking all things Football League. We are live on YouTube tonight, not just coming out of your DAB radio, so via radioyorkshire.co.uk these days. You can get us on Facebook and YouTube as well. I've just had some Facebook Live problems, Tom, at the start of the show. I think Mark Wilson had the same problems yesterday. I couldn't get it off.
Couldn't get it off.
So it was playing while we were about to go on air, but thankfully
it's been weird.
Sorted it out for now.
Weird echo.
But yeah, if you do hear a bit of an echo, then it is probably just me being useless with technology. How are you doing, Tom? You all right?
Yeah, I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah, lots to come over the next 60 minutes on the show. We're going to be looking back at all the weekend's action, including the movement on the West Yorkshire Derby today, with both clubs being charged, Leeds and Huddersfield, following the altercations at the end of Sunday's game. We'll look back at the weekend for Sheffield Wednesday, for Rotherham, Sheffield United, Bradford and Donny as well. We'll talk the rest of the Football League news as well. Of course, this time last week it was transfer deadline day. We'll get Tom to wrap things up for you if there's anything we may have missed over the last 7 days transfer-wise. We'll talk Nottingham Forest as well. Good days, bad days too. We've got these EFL divisional season tables to talk about a little bit later on too, and it's Chequered Trade Trophy night. We're getting into the business end of this competition now.
We are semi-finals, I believe it is, of the Chequered Trade Trophy tonight. Very exciting. You can feel the excitement around the Football League.
Finals at Wembley, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Wembley, 2nd of April, I believe it is.
Yes.
At the very start, no under 23 teams left in it. What a shame.
I was hoping another 23 team would win, but never mind. Not to be. Tom, you're a Leeds United man.
I am.
Thoughts after Sunday over Ryan? Thoughts? You've had a couple of days now to stew. You've been in the office with Andy Lawson, who's a Huddersfield Town fan. What are you thinking 48 hours on from Sunday's derby?
Of course, it's disappointing. Looking at it from a fan aspect, you always want to win games, especially a local derby, especially a local derby at the top end of the table where you're both going for promotion. But yeah, while it was disappointing, there's not much really you can do. You can maybe pinpoint a couple of problems with, or a few little issues with Leeds, but at the end of the day, when a team come up against you and they're on form, I thought Huddersfield, like Thursday against Brighton, they really showed up, they played well, and no matter how good you are, sometimes you do just get outplayed at times. Leeds did enjoy the spells, but I think it was going to be Huddersfield's day, and as we saw, there was a last-minute winner, and just as the game was going on, you could tell if there was going to be a winning goal, it was going to be for the home team. But you know, it was a good game, it was a typical derby, and of course events at the end of the game, I think, have kind of become more prominent than the actual football itself. But yeah, it was an entertaining derby to watch regardless.
Yeah, we'll get onto that in a couple of moments. But you left the Radio Yorkshire offices on Thursday night to head to the John Smiths
I
for
did.
The game against Brighton. So you've seen Huddersfield now twice in close succession, a fantastic win against Brighton as well. What do you reckon? All right, you're a Leeds fan, but you've seen them twice now in a very short space of time. Are they good, do you think, for automatic? Are they going to be the ones knocking on the door over maybe a Leeds United?
I think they can be. On Thursday, kind of, I was saying this to my mate who went to the game with, that you're watching Huddersfield and then you think of 6-7 Premier League teams, they could probably beat them when they play like that. They've just, a Brighton team who were top of the league, a very good Brighton team who don't lose that often, they've basically just dismantled them. They've, you know, beaten them, well beaten them, even when, you know, they conceded that soft goal. They didn't really look like they were going to lose the game. I think Brighton are going to go up automatically. And I think Newcastle, you just hear about these kind of problems that seem to be occurring at Newcastle. I think they could drop out. And for me, it was going to be maybe a Huddersfield or Leeds who were going to take that place. And after Sunday, after Thursday, I actually do believe that Huddersfield are well on to get back into that top two when, you know, you consider that those are 6 points out of a possible six against two teams who, again, are looking for Premier League promotion. So, yeah, as much as it pains me to say it as a Leeds fan, but you take that away, Huddersfield Town actually are genuine, I think, automatic contenders at the moment. So they've not exactly got a hard run coming up either, so there's points to be won for them. It should be interesting to see where they are after a couple of weeks.
And for Leeds, they've been grinding out results of late, maybe not been at their best for the last couple of weeks, Leeds United, and certainly probably not on Sunday as well. But do you think that there's still lots in the tank for Leeds to challenge the top two, or do you think they are fighting out for the top six places?
I think there's still a chance. You're looking at Leeds' coming fixtures. They've got Cardiff and Bristol City at Elland Road, two winnable games, especially at Elland Road. Ipswich away, you know, it's difficult with Ipswich. They've not been as good as they have been. Sheffield Wednesday at home, that's massive. If they can get something out of that, then again, that confidence booster is back. And then Birmingham, Fulham, QPR are the next three fixtures before that game, obviously against Brighton in mid-March. So there are winnable games there. And those winnable games are the ones where Leeds need to pick up 3 points to kind of get the momentum going. I think Leeds are still well on for the automatics. It's just a case of seeing how they bounce back from Sunday's result. Last time they kind of hit a bit of a dip, they did respond quite well. So hopefully from a Leeds United aspect, that's going to be the same case this time. They are going to bounce back in a positive way.
A lot's been made about, obviously, the transfer window. We'll talk about it in terms of some of the other deals. But for Leeds, we were sat here this time last week. Lewis Grabham was linked. Leeds did a couple of deals in January. They missed out on Grabham, of course, who scored for Reading at the weekend. Do you think they've got enough?
I think squad depth is going to be what lets Leeds down if they don't go up. In a way, similar to Huddersfield, they're kind of similar in that you're comparing them to Sheffield Wednesday, to Brighton, to Newcastle, who've got quality throughout the squad. Leeds kind of don't have that depth, but I suppose bringing in the two wingers allows you kind of roof Dakara, if needs be, to step into more kind of, I think, their preferred striker role. Even then, with the wingers coming in, Pedraza, okay, he didn't get much of a chance, but he did look good when he had that time to play against Huddersfield. So you're hoping the service will be there. And obviously Wood scoring, but that's hopefully where your Antonsen, etc., with that service can also find the net. So I think as long as there's no defensive injuries, then Leeds should be okay to definitely achieve playoffs at the very least.
And in terms of the incident at the end of the game, Huddersfield score, 89th minute, David Wagner sets off down the touchline to celebrate with his players. First of all, on that, what do you think about what David Wagner did?
I quite like it as a football fan. I've said it before, I do quite like his passion. And I know Leeds fans have complained about it, but I think at the end of the day, if it was the other way around and David Wagner was Leeds manager and he did that, you know, it's the same at any team. Your fans would love it. He's very passionate, that's clear to see. I do like what he does, but he has got into trouble with the FA for it before. Of course, if it's going to cause scenes like that, it's difficult. You know, I suppose in one sense, you're punishing him for kind of celebrating a last-minute winner at a local derby with his team. But like even Wagner said, you know, OK, we don't do that in England, fair enough. I think it's only a case of if he doesn't do it again, then really you'll find out if he has kind of learnt. But yeah, it's difficult because I don't want to completely go, well, it was terrible, he shouldn't have done it. But at the same time, if he's been in trouble before, he probably knows it's going to get into trouble again. Then you're going to question kind of why he went on the pitch in that aspect.
And in terms of Gary Monk, as David Wagner's running back to take his place in the technical area, a few different angles show it, and he definitely steps out of his technical area and into David Wagner. What was your opinion on the way that the Leeds boss reacted to it?
I think the whole incident, Wagner and Monk have got equal blame for me, where Wagner shouldn't have gone into the other manager's technical area, and then, you know, kind of shouldn't run onto the pitch. But Monk knew what he was doing. I think when he stepped out, he knew he was coming, he stepped out in the way. I suppose frustration's got to be there when you've conceded a last-minute winner in a derby, which, you know, could define a potential promotion-winning season. So, yeah, I think I don't think he's as innocent as maybe he makes out, but I think both managers probably have equal blame for the incident. As we've seen, they're both in trouble with the FA for it.
Yeah, as a Leeds man, you said you like to see what David Wagner does running down the touchline, those kind of antics. Do you equally like to see a manager who hates to get beat? That's plainly obvious. And he does have that bit of a nasty side, and maybe that, you know, needs to come out in the Leeds team, or has done a little bit more this season than probably what the team have lacked in the last couple of years. That's just that little bit of spike.
Yeah, I think you can tell that Gary Monk wants to win. That's clear from where Leeds are in the league. It's clear that even from everywhere, from Sutton to, you know, to when we're playing Newcastle, Brighton, that he wants to win. And even when we went to Liverpool, they want to win. They're not there for, you know, just to make up numbers. They do want to win. So it's understandable that the frustration's there, especially when it's great for us to kind of detach ourselves from it. But I suppose you put yourself in that situation where, you know, the opposition managers ran into your technical area to then run onto the pitch. You can understand why he's frustrated, you know, and that's where kind of the equal blame does come into it. And you do kind of like to see that, as much as, you know, the FA and the Football League will fine the players. It shows that team spirit by both sets of players, just how quickly they were in it, and they were over on the side, that their togetherness is there and it's evident to show. But yeah, for me, like I said, equal blame, I think, for both managers for what happened.
And if you've missed it today, Huddersfield boss David Wagner and Leeds' Gary Monk have been charged with improper conduct by the Football Association. The charges come after that confrontation that Tom has just been discussing in the Terrace 2-1 win over the Whites on Sunday. Both clubs also been charged with failing to ensure their players conducted themselves in an orderly fashion, Tom. They have until 6 o'clock on Friday to respond to the charges. Huddersfield Town have also indefinitely banned the supporter who unfurled a Turkish flag during the game as well. Good to see that action being taken swiftly by Huddersfield. Let's get now the reactions of Gary Monk and David Wagner to their clash on the touchline on Sunday.
Any regrets about what happened at the end? Because obviously you both ended up, yourself and Gary got sent off. Anything you might have done differently? Or?
Yeah, at the end, I have to apologise that I ran to the pitch, but this is emotion. I have to respect the British culture that this isn't allowed in Germany. It happens sometimes. It isn't the best one, but it happens sometimes. And to be fair, if there was a moment where, in my opinion, it could happen, then it was this moment. And everything what happens after, I think this should not be in the middle point of the game. The game was too good from, again, two good sides that we should speak too much about what happens after we scored the goal, the winner. For this, I think the players have to play to be in the middle point from both sides.
Okay. Really? But again, that's for the judgment of others, but I don't want to go into too much detail, but my technical area is my technical area, whether I'm home or away. You behave properly in those situations, you know, but if someone comes across and they run into you or whatever it is, you know, that's, what can I do about that? But look, that's for everyone else. That I'm not making a big deal of it. I can only speak out of what I said is the values that I hold to myself, the highest in my life, and I hold my team to it, and then I make sure I respect those values fully.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go. Well, David Wagner and Gary Monk talking after their clash at the weekend. Class, humility and respect, the values that Gary Monk holds most dear, Tom. You look like you don't have any of them, to be fair.
I can understand what he's saying again, but like I said, he's not as innocent as he makes out to be. I think it's... Yeah, he knew what he was doing, and just because he didn't react... As you know, kind of like Wagner did, doesn't mean that he's in the wrong for it. But yeah, what's happened, I suppose. I have to wait to see what the FA do about it now.
Indeed, to the club's 7 till 6 o'clock on Friday to respond to their respective charges. Malcolm Still has been in touch on Facebook. We're live on Facebook and YouTube tonight, saying Leeds need to win their next game to keep the pressure on. Huddersfield, of course, also beating Brighton 3-1 on Thursday, which we discussed. Sheffield Wednesday, the other Yorkshire side, in the mix in the top six. And they played Friday night. A bit of a horrible game against Wigan. Not the most entertaining, but job done. And deadline day signing Jordan Rhodes making an impact, getting the flick on for Ross Wallace's goal.
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't a very entertaining game. It wasn't, you know, full of action, but like I said, job done. They got the 3 points away from home. Always a bonus when you're looking for promotion. And yeah, Jordan Rhodes, he settled in pretty much straight away. You couldn't really tell that, if you know, you had no idea, you wouldn't be able to tell that he's just joined the team. He, you know, didn't really look out of place whatsoever. It is like he's kind of played there all season, and yeah, got the assist, which is good for his confidence, and hopefully, you know, he can find the net a bit more and help them fire them up the table. I wouldn't say automatic, but definitely secure that playoff position. Can't get my words out.
Derby and Norwich are both within 3 points. Barnsley on 45 points, 4 points adrift of Sheffield Wednesday. Now, the most likely candidate, do you think, of those two? Do you think Norwich and Derby will be pushing all the tides in the top six all the way?
I think Derby definitely. They've had that revival since the managerial change. McLaren seems to be doing quite a good job. Norwich, not too sure. We saw it earlier in the season when Alex Neil came under a lot of pressure. They weren't playing well. They weren't getting the results. And this weekend was their first win in about 10 away games. So, you know, they've struggled in that aspect. But Sheffield Wednesday are in that position. They're a good side at Hillsborough. So I think Wednesday will nick it. But Derby, and even throw Barnsley into the mix, I think they can push them all the way.
Danny Osborne is asking if we're drunk on Facebook.
Maybe.
A few comments for Leeds and Huddersfield still coming in. In terms of Sheffield Wednesday, Jordan Rhodes has been saying he was hurt by his exclusion from the team at Borough. Do you get the sense of a man who is hungry to prove himself again?
Yeah, and I think at Sheffield Wednesday where he's been linked with that move for a number of transfer windows now, where it seems to be the long... going saga of when Jordan Rhodes will finally go to Wednesday. You read his comments as well after the move. It's a move that he definitely wanted. So yeah, when you combine that with kind of that desire, I suppose, to prove himself to... I suppose if Wednesday do go up, try and cement himself as a Premier League striker, a regular Premier League striker as well, it should be a good mix. And, you know, it's a mix that's definitely going to work in Wednesday's favour.
Next four games for Sheffield Wednesday. Another Friday night fixture this week against Birmingham. Then they have another home game against Blackburn, away at Forest, and then back at Hillsborough against Brentford. So four winnable games there to cement your place in that top six and maybe get a bit more daylight from those two we just mentioned.
Yeah, definitely. When you look at Norwich and Derby as well, Norwich got Wigan, Derby got Bristol City. They're two winnable games again for them. So, yeah, I think this is where the fixtures and games to come really kind of come into play at this point in the season. Like I said, four winnable games. If they can win them, the pressure really is on your Norwich, Derby and Barnsley to match the results.
Jack Conley on Facebook, if Jordan Rhodes is worth 10 million, Chris Wood is worth 20. Thoughts?
See, the whole what a striker is worth is what they're worth to the team. I think Chris Wood would probably be worth 20 million to Leeds because the amount of goals he's got, and kind of he's obviously the main source of goals for him. I don't know, with Rhodes though, you know you're definitely going to get goals every championship season, he's proven. I think 10 million on the modern market was a bit of a steal for Jordan Rhodes, but I don't know if anyone would pay 20 million for Chris Wood, but with the way transfers are going, I couldn't see why Leeds couldn't demand it if they were going to sell him. So I'd say to Leeds, he probably, as silly as it sounds, probably is worth 20 million.
There we go, that's Tom's thoughts. Let's hear from Carlos Carvajal, now the Sheffield Wednesday boss, following that win at Wigan.
Yeah, very, very, very important. We talk with the players, and today we talk with them that will be the beginning of the rest of the season. And it's important, it will be very important to win this game. Why? Because after this game, we play three games on the row away, is the third, and we'll play 10 home and 7 away, and I think we are in very good conditions and very good position to attack the last final of the championship with more energy, and I believe that I am sure that we play better football, a better performance, and I am sure that we'll achieve a good position, because today we show that we know play also to the points. We show that we know play against these kind of teams. It's something that you remember last season. We miss a lot of points against the teams from near the bottom. And there are a lot of positive things today. And also, I can explain why the last 20 minutes... we must understand that Wigan did to the life, and they deserve to put the ball more near our area, but we play 3 days before. We arrive at 3 a.m. In Sheffield. So in few hours you was training again, and we have a very short time to prepare the game and very short time to recover. It's why Barry Burnham and Jonas, because they played 90 minutes very intensive in the previous game, have some problems also in the last 20 minutes. Why we put Abdi to put one more player in the middle to try to control and try to block the press that Wigan are doing, because they was more fresh than us. But at the end, we achieve what we want in this game. 3 points, very, very important. And like I told my players, it will be the beginning of the rest of the season.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Welcome back, Sam and Tom, with you through until 7. When I'm sticking around, I'm letting Tom get off. And Paul Silky Jones will join me for an hour of boxing chat. Proper boxing is on the Radio Yorkshire airwaves. You can watch that live as well at Proper Sport if you follow our sister channel. Make sure you do head to Facebook and Twitter as well. Search for us on there, and you can find us on YouTube as well. The show will be streamed live on Facebook and YouTube, as well as, of course, on DAB here in the White Rose County. Tom, let's crack on with the Yorkshire news right now. And, Rotherham, they lost again at the weekend. It was a perfect opportunity, really. Bristol City have been
on a
horrible run.
Yeah.
They picked up their first win in a while against the Millers.
Yeah, Rotherham, I don't know what much more there is to say about Rotherham that we haven't said in previous weeks, that you can't see them staying up. Again, we say this every week, but that gap is just growing and growing and growing, and now 15 points off safety, 15 points off Burton Albion. I suppose the next game, they've got Blackburn at home. That's winnable, but you're going to need a miracle run, because now you're going to need six games to win six games just to get out of the relegation zone, and there's only 16 games left. You're trying to avoid being too negative about a Yorkshire side, but really, just you can't see them getting out of the trouble they're in. 16 points from 30 games, just 4 wins all season. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And, you know, hopefully they'll be able to kind of bounce back. In League One, do a Wolves, do a Wigan, maybe rebuild. But for the Championship, I think that's it for them at the moment.
Yeah, especially when you look at some of the teams around them who strengthen their squad. particularly Burton, who just sit right outside the relegation zone, bringing in Michael Keightley on deadline day. He immediate impact, scoring the winner on Saturday against Wolves. And it's just that lack of quality that Rotherham have had all season.
It's difficult to attract players, I suppose, to Rotherham at the moment, where it's, you know, the greatest respect, it's not like it's a huge club like some of the clubs in the Championship. They're struggling, they're not winning many games, they're conceding just a shedload of goals. 64 goals they've conceded this season, whereas Wigan and the place above have only conceded 33. So it's showing that, you know, just it's really not going well for at the moment. So yeah, it's difficult to kind of draw players to the club when it just doesn't seem to be going your way whatsoever.
No, Rotherham doomed, really. Interesting game, though, on Saturday. Big opportunity for Blackburn to really bury Rotherham. If Rotherham were to get a win there, that'd put Blackburn in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, especially at home. I suppose Blackburn haven't been the best. Blackburn haven't been the best full stop, I suppose, this season. But on the road, especially, they've struggled. So, yeah, like I said, a great chance for Rotherham if they can kind of get the players going, get the players up for it. It could maybe spark a bit of a revival, and, you know, we've kind of just said here that they are pretty much down, but you never know. If they can win a couple of games now, the pressure really starts to come on. But I suppose if they do lose that game against Blackburn, I think that would definitely, I think, be it for them.
Indeed. Sheffield United, a bit of a sticky patch, if you could call it that, being at the top of the table, but they bounced back in style, a 4-0 victory over AFC Wimbledon.
Pretty easy, wasn't it, for them? It seemed that, I think all throughout the game, they seemed a dominant team, didn't seem to struggle, 9 points clear of Bolton in third place. Now, okay, Wanderers do have the 2 games in hand over them, but they've got to then go and win those 2 games. So, yeah, really positive, as it has looked for the last few months for Sheffield United. They obviously had quite a slow start. Like I said, they had a bit of a blip in recent weeks, but back to winning ways, and it just shows kind of the lead and the dominance that they kind of had in the league, where they can afford to have a mini blip and still be quite a way ahead of playoffs. So yeah, all positive.
Bradford, same old story, draw number 14. We've been to talk about it every single week. They brought in Charlie White to solve their goal-scoring problems. He had an impact, but leaked a couple of goals, and just a point again for Bradford. It is just Groundhog Day at times.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, this may surprise you, Sam, but Bradford have the most draws in League One. I don't know if that's surprising news, but yeah. Seem to draw every week. They're struggling. Like I said, White's come in. Hopefully he'll add the goals. But again, once they start scoring goals, they seem to be conceding them. So, yeah, interesting. Still positive. They've got Bristol Rovers next game. Could be winnable, or it should be winnable for them. So, yeah, interesting to see how they get on in the next few weeks.
Yeah, fascinating facts from yesterday's Yorkshire football show that'll give you, Tom. Millwall.
Yes.
Gregory Morrison O'Brien have scored 31 goals, I think it was, between them. Bradford has scored 38 all season.
That's worrying for a team who are looking for promotion. For Millwall, a team who beat them in the playoffs. Yeah, it's a bit of a worry.
Indeed, we shall, in a couple of months' time, get the latest Yorkshire sports headlines from Joe Rawson. Just to let you know, after 7 o'clock, Paul Silky Jones will be joining me for Proper Boxing, the first of these shows on the radio. We've got a couple of stellar guests as well. Dave Cowell will be joining us on the line to look back at the weekend. A devastating loss for his man, David Price. He's also, of course, the trainer of Tony Bellew. A huge fight coming up against David Hay, and the trainer as well of the McDonald's, Gavin McDonald, in world title action in just a couple of weeks' time. So we'll get the insight from the Coldwell camp as well, and we'll be talking to a Yorkshire heavyweight as well in the shape of David Allen. But now it's time for the latest sports from Joe.
Radio. Radio Yorkshire Sport.
Thanks, Ambo. Huddersfield Town and Leeds United have been charged with failing to control their players and staff following the touchline scrap during the West Yorkshire Derby on Sunday. Both head coaches have also been charged in relation to the game. Huddersfield's David Wagner is subject to two alleged breaches, entering the field of play and improper conduct, while Leeds's Gary Monk faces one charge of improper conduct. All parties have until 6 p.m. on the 10th of February to respond to the charges. Leicester have put out a statement saying they have unwavering support for boss Claudio Ranieri. The Premier League champions are just a point above the relegation zone, but the club's ownership have decided to back their manager publicly with 14 top flight games left this season. Norwich will move into the final championship playoff spots if they win at relegation battling Wigan tonight. After a terrible run of form, Alex Neil's side have charged up the table via 3 wins in 4 games. Huddersfield Giants hooker Ryan Hinchcliffe has admitted it's come as a relief to him not to have the burden of being club captain this year. The 32-year-old was controversially given the armband by the former head coach Paul Anderson in 2016, but has been replaced by Leroy Cudjoe for the new season, and Hinchcliffe says the new skipper has his full backing.
I think it's great for English clubs to have English captains. You know, I wasn't completely comfortable with how the whole process went last year and I ended up with the captaincy, but this year it's gone through the right channels and Leroy's come out as captain and he'll do a great job. Like I said, he's ultra consistent with the way he plays and, you know, he'll have my 100% support.
And finally, Leeds forward Stevie Ward believes the Rhinos will be challenging for all 3 trophies in the new campaign as they hope to put a dismal 2016 behind them. They kick off with a trip to face St Helens at Langtree Park on Thursday night. That's a match you can hear live on Radio Yorkshire. Ward told us what the targets are for the new season.
We come to Leeds, we come to train and it's got to be 100%. 100% is winning all 3 trophies. It's everything we can do. So going into each week, you know, it's going to be important as the last and each trophy, you know, we want to do something special again.
That's the latest. More online at radioyorkshire.co.uk.
Cheers, Joe. Joe, just very quickly before you get off, one of the comments on Facebook tonight, Ollie Watson, Newcastle, Brighton, Leeds to go up. You heard it here first in the Championship. Thoughts on that? Are they the 3 for you?
I think Newcastle and Brighton, yeah, but Leeds, it's playoffs are a lottery, aren't they? And, you know, you can't write off Huddersfield Town. I think Sheffield Wednesday, as I mentioned on the Yorkshire Football Show yesterday, Jordan Rhodes, the signing of him, that just takes them to the next level in terms of firepower. Norwich are on a really good run, and Reading, no, you can't write them off. I mean, we've written them off all season, but they are still there. They're still in the top 6. So I think the top 2, Newcastle and Brighton, agree with that. But who's going up through the playoffs? It's anyone's guess.
I'm sitting on the fence, stop picking one.
If I really had to pick one, I'm going to go Sheffield Wednesday, but they're my side. So
You go. Surprise, surprise from Joe. Joe, thank you very much. We'll be back on the FL72 in a few moments' time.
This WeBuyAnyCar.com advert comes with a 5-star rating. 5 stars? I'm happy with that. No, it's not down to my captivating personality and witty presenting style. WeBuyAnyCar.com has a very nice 5-star review on Trustpilot. Thanks, guys. You're too kind. Stop it. If you're happy with that, sell your car the 5-star way. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Burgers at Frankie and Benny's are just $5.95. That's right, burgers are just $5.95 all day, every day, this February. Download our app or sign up online and we'll send you your voucher pronto. So get down to Frankie and Benny's for great taste and burgers at just $5.95. T's and C's apply, excludes double burgers.
To celebrate the launch of the new, bigger Mini Countryman, we're giving you the chance to win a Mini for a year and experience all 5 models in the range. So you can enjoy spring with friends in the 3 and 5 door hatch. Keep cool in summer with a convertible. Turn over a new leaf in autumn with a stylish Clubman. Then take on winter in the versatile Countryman. Book a test drive between the 11th and 28th of February for your chance to win and turn an hour of driving into a year of excitement. Visit mini.co.uk/a mini for a year. Who's in? Test drive subject to status and availability. T's and C's apply. Participating Mini retailers only. No cash alternative.
Football chat and much more. The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yes, welcome back to the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for about another 25 minutes when we have an hour of boxing chat in the company of the former light middleweight champion of the world, Paul Silky Jones, Dave Caldwell and David Allen joining us as well on the phone. Looking forward to that, but also looking forward, Tom, to chatting a bit more Football League for the next 25 minutes. So look back at deadline day for me if I've been asleep for the last week. We've already talked about Jordan Rhodes, but what were the headline deals for you looking back now?
So you see, I understand the... I think you get an extra hour, isn't it, if you submit a certain form that lets you kind of do deals after the deadline. But yeah, Jordan Rhodes, of course, moving to Sheffield Wednesday. Ross McCormack, of course, got out of his garden with his stuck gates, managed to get around it and moved to Nottingham Forest. And of course, Omar Bugal moving to Wigan, as well as quite a few striker moves late on into the window. So yeah, it was interesting. And I suppose if you were up late, it was about half past midnight, 1 o'clock, and there were still deals getting done. So yeah, it was an entertaining end to deadline day, to say the least.
Yeah, indeed. Jordan Rhodes, the one for me. In terms of Ross McCormack, what do you think? Do you think Nottingham Forest, on the day, obviously, have got themselves a hell of a talent?
Oh, yeah.
But do you think he's going to be in the right frame of mind? Have they got themselves a bargain, or do you think he might be more trouble than he's worth at this stage?
It's a fantastic signing for them for the rest of the season to bring in McCormack, who's going to guarantee you goals. He's shown it when he was at Leeds, he's shown it when he was at Fulham. Of course, he's fallen out with Bruce, so Nottingham Forest have made the most of it. It's interesting to see what character you're going to get with McCormack, but at the end of the day, Forest are down there. They're struggling. They need goals, and he's going to bring it in. When you put him alongside a Britt Assombalonga as well, that's a very decent strike force to have, a strike pairing to have in the Championship. So, yeah, a good deal on paper, but like you said, it's just interesting to see if kind of what character they're going to get as well. But I suppose they can't be too fussy if he's going to bring him goals.
Did Ross McCormack pass his medical by jumping over those gates? Do we know, did the medical team
I saw a quote that
in?
Says that I'm pretty sure it was a quote where he said about jumping over the fence, that you've got to remember that he could have like hurt his ankle or his leg, so he didn't jump over the fence to go to training. But it's just a bizarre incident that somehow a garden fence has led to him playing for Nottingham Forest. But there we are.
Indeed. There's only one thing that's led to Cheick Tiote moving to China,
yes.
But he has done, leaving Newcastle to sign for Beijing Enterprises FC.
Yes, Beijing Enterprises FC, where looked up their squad, no one that we'd probably know in the squad with him. But yeah, he's moved today. He's become the latest footballer to move over to China. It seems a bit of a bizarre one for me, because they tried to sign Van Levine from Scunthorpe, one of the Chinese teams as well. So I'm just intrigued to see the kind of the scouting process that goes on there, whether someone showed the owner a video of Newcastle 4, Arsenal 4, and they saw him score at the end. But yeah, really not been a part of that Newcastle side this season. Got himself a move. I suppose he's going to be playing regularly over there, and sure he's not going to be short of cash either, I reckon, with the amount of money flying about. So yeah, interesting deal, one that kind of we didn't expect, but yeah, it's happened. One of the weird transfers to go through this winter.
Are Newcastle fans distraught by the news?
Yeah, distraught. They saw one comment saying one Newcastle fan has got a bottle of Moe ready for when he leaves. So obviously showing how popular he was. But he was linked to a couple of Chinese teams actually this January. So I think it was pretty clear that he was going to leave. But yeah, don't think they're going to miss him too much. But he did score that goal against Arsenal in that famous 4-4 draw. So I suppose that's a nice memory to have to leave the club with.
I tell you what, you know you've made it when Chinese clubs are fighting to sign you.
I mean, I'm available too with the money that's flying around. I'm I'll put myself on the market while I got a chance.
Get yourself a show reel.
Get Greg Abbott to recommend me from Greg Abbott's Football Academy.
And your old mate, Joe Hart, of course.
Yes.
Tom's close personal friend.
I have a connection, a very long connection to Joe Hart, so sign me up.
Elsewhere, the former Queen's Park Rangers striker, Gibril Cissé, he has retired from football. He's not taking up any offers from China, but he's got another career on the go.
Yes. Gibril Cissé is retiring from football to become a DJ and music producer. Again, with the TOA thing, it's quite a bizarre story about why he's decided to do it, but I suppose it's not all that bad.
Why has he decided to do it? What?
I'm trying to look it up now, the exact reasons he's given. Apparently an ongoing hip problem ended his career 2 years ago, but successful surgery on the problem had prompted him to consider returning to the game last April, but he couldn't find a club. So I suppose now that he's decided to retire and, yeah, take up DJing. There's a few pictures of him DJing, so maybe it's a hidden talent that we didn't know about. But, yeah, a bizarre one. A bizarre one anyway.
Yeah, I imagine he's a club DJ. He's not going to be turning up for any christenings down in Yorkshire.
He said, with the same passion, I will devote myself wholeheartedly to my career as a DJ, producer and consultant, as well as developing my clothing brand. So he's got a lot on his plate. A lot on his plate at the moment. But yeah, good luck to him, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's
sure be all right.
The Calm Duff brand is missing its own clothing range.
I'm sure they'd fly off the shelf.
Elsewhere, a couple of other potential moves this week. We had the Yak training at Coventry.
Yes.
What about that?
Marcus Tudguy's signed for Coventry as well. So
bit of a reunion going on.
Yeah, they're going for some, like David Moyes with his weird Everton reunion. I think Coventry are going for another weird reunion. Yeah, but Yakubu's reportedly on trial at Coventry. Could be the man to save their season. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
At 34, he's not 34, is he? Come on, who's he trying to fool?
I don't know, but yeah, again, it's just been a weird, when you put all these stories together, you know, and this has just been a bizarre week. It kind of came out of nowhere that Yakubu turned up at Coventry. I don't know whether they invited him or he just turned up with his boots and went, oh, I'll play. But yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, Yakubu could be the hero that Coventry need.
Yeah, there is absolutely no chance that Yakubu is a year older than me. Not a chance. Elsewhere, Blackburn Rovers, they got a win at the weekend.
They won.
Great
a football
news
game
for Owen Coyle.
It is absolutely outstanding news for FL72 favourite Owen Coyle, of course, beating QPR, who had a good performance against Newcastle away. So, yeah, good win for them. Hopefully, they could stay up, who knows. But as ever, we hear what he has to say.
Yeah, indeed, it's time for the Owen Coyle countdown. Tom Carnduff's second feature. Try and count the words, as ever.
Well, I think, you know, it was important, we said, with the home game, you know, given the disappointment the other night when we put so much into the game, that this was massive. We had to get 3 points today, and we've done that. And I think we deserve the 3 points against a team that we obviously have been doing very well, as you know, went to Newcastle and drew the other night. So their tails were up, but I think we dealt with what they had to offer. And we were really the aggressors, and we had a few other opportunities before the goal to get in front, a few things flying across the box, just over the bar and such forth. But what a wonderful goal to win in the game.
There we go, Owen Coyle, he's picked up the pace again.
He has. I was very pleased this week when I was listening to it, because we had the lull last week, but this week he was very eager to get everything he could possibly think out as quickly as he could.
Indeed, he has been drinking his iron brew, old Owen. yeah, congratulations. And of course, they play Rotherham Blackburn at the weekend, so even more reason to chat about Owen Coyle next week on the show. In fact, we should send you down, shouldn't we?
Oh.
Should send you to the game, then you can meet him.
I don't know if I'd be able to cope. I mean, I nearly died when I met Mick McCarthy, so I think that might just, I don't know how I'd react.
But two legends in one season. Nottingham Forest, we discussed Forest on the show countless times. Gary Brazil remains the interim Forest manager. And it seems after pretty much being linked with everyone, being turned down by Nigel Clough as well, that they're going to stick with him.
Yeah, they are, I suppose. We've said it before that they just couldn't seem to get anyone in. I suppose if this takeover had gone through, of course, don't know too much about the owners. I think John J. Moores had tried to buy two clubs previously but hadn't been successful, but they did have Gary Rowett lined up to take over at Forest. Of course, that didn't come about. So, yeah, Brazil is going to stay. And I don't think it's too bad of an appointment. He's done all right in recent weeks, especially at the weekend when you look at that that win over Aston Villa. It was a good performance, to be honest, and they got the 3 points from it. Entertaining game, and you know they've been okay in recent weeks. They've not exactly been as bad as they were before. They're slowly pushing away from the relegation zone. Not saying that they are, you know, completely safe whatsoever, but they have turned it round. They have got themselves into a good position of safety. So, yeah, I don't think it'd be overly a bad appointment for them, especially when at the end of the day they just couldn't seem to get anyone else in.
Indeed. Let's hear from him now. Here is Gary Brazil after their win against Aston Villa.
That was, I think, a good performance when you take in, I think, that we started reasonably well in the game. As the game went on, the first half went on, I thought the last 15, 20 minutes of the first half, we really got a grip of things. We started to move the ball a lot better and we deserved our goal just before half-time. Obviously, that gave us momentum coming out for the second half, and I thought we were worth the win. And we played some really good football second half. I thought we retained the ball very well for long periods of the game. It was just that top third of the pitch where we still need to do some work. But, you know, we got ourselves a goal for half-time. Second half, I thought we played some really good football. Kept trying to open them up. And eventually, you know, we managed to, with them going down to 10 men, we managed to make the pitch really big, open the pitch up. We kept switching play and getting people in down the sides. And then we got our just rewards late, but I thought we were worthy of that.
Did you get better? Did you get more belief as the match went on?
I don't know about me. I've got belief in the players anyway. I think the players have got to grow more belief in them. And I said to them afterwards, when you start realising genuinely how good you are and you free yourselves up more, it felt a little bit like we were a little bit handcuffed at first half. People weren't really expressing themselves once we got into the opposition's half, and all of a sudden Benny Osborne started breaking lines with the ball, and then we started getting pockets better. We got Britt into areas that we wanted to get him into, and then all of a sudden you start and you can sense the crowd feeling it as well. And I said just before half time, before we got the goal, you could sense the momentum shift, really, really shift towards us, in that we were looking like we were going to create chances, getting set pieces, etc. Ward is it a great shot, tough one for the keeper to hold, but the minute it's spilt, that's what Britt Assombalonga is. Yeah. So he's picked the pieces up, that's a goal. That gives us a major lift before we go into the second half. And then, you know, I think they had a couple of little chances second half where we've relied on Hendo again, and he's come up good with a great save. But the two guys that they've got up front cost a lot of money, and they just showed that they were always still going to be a threat. Game got a little bit open at times, and we had to shut that off with putting Thomas Lamb in midfield, and that worked really well for us. But then, you know, as we went further on and we made a couple of really, I thought, were good substitutions that put the game really in our way. And then, as it's gone on, obviously, the youngster's got a chance, and bless his heart, he's took it.
Yeah, how fitting on today of all days that it's somebody out of the Nigel Doughty Academy that scores the winning goal for you.
Absolutely. I mean, it's touching. I mean, everybody knows the contribution of Nigel to this football club over the periods, and it's lovely that that we get a youngster coming on and scoring his first league goal. First of many, I would hasten to add, beyond that, and he will get a load of goals for this football club. But he took his opportunity fantastically. Britt kept the ball alive in the box by winning a header, and it just dropped for Ben. And, you know, we've seen that on a number of occasions when we've been working in the academy over the last year and a half. And it was the minute it dropped to him, you fancied his chances. And to be fair to him, he's put it in the bottom corner. Marvellous moment for the kid, but marvellous moment for this club.
How brave of you as well to put him on ahead of the experience of Velios and Bentner.
No, I know Ben. So it's not particularly brave. I know the quality of the kid. I know what he'll bring to the team. And as I've said before, and it's nothing against anybody else, I'm not worried about the age of the player. I'm worried about the quality of the player and what he would give to us. And we know, the people that come out of the academy, and myself and Jack especially, know that when he comes on the pitch, we know the things that he'll give us. On Tuesday, he stretched the play out a lot. He showed a real energy playing up front with Britt. Today, he's come on. I thought he was really good at retaining possession. He was backing into people. He looked sharp. He looked bright. That's what the kid will do for you. But he's got a lot to do yet. He's got a lot of things to learn. But we've got somebody that wants to learn. He wants to get better. And it was a lovely day for him. But let's be right. We had some really good players out there today. There were some very, very strong performances right through the side. And again, it's another little baby step forward for us.
Three wins in four for you. If I was in your position and didn't get the job till the end of the season, I'd be pretty disappointed.
Well, our job is to make sure that we settle ourselves down and not get giddy about this. We've got another 3 points. We're starting to move up into the area of the table that we should be in, and we want to push on beyond that. But we'll come back in Monday morning. Players get a nice day off tomorrow to be with their families and relax, and they'll come in again on Monday morning, and we'll crack on with work and we'll prepare for Norwich. And genuinely, Robin, it's as simple as that.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
There we go, Gary Brazil talking about Nottingham Forest and their win, and what a moment for the youngster. 17, what a good strike as well.
Yeah, to win the game. It was great strike to come off the bench, lots of pressure. Handled it like a complete professional. So, yeah, good finish for him.
Indeed, and of course, there is always pressure on Tom Carndock when we do this. Yep, it's the original Tom Carndough feature, the one he invented first. You always remember your first, Tom. And it's good days, bad days. Tom gives us, who had a good day in the Championship and a bad day as well, League One and League Two as well. Tom, for this week, get on
bombing through it because we're running out of time. So in the Championship, we just spoke about them. Nottingham Forest with a good day. They made it 3 home wins in a row. A 2-1 win over Aston Villa thanks to Brereton's late goal. It was a bad day for Cardiff City. They lost to a Norwich City side who hadn't previously won in 10 away games. Then into League One, good day for Shropshire side Shrewsbury Town. 2-1 win over Bury, I should say, means they have picked up 11 points out of their last 15, moving them 4 points clear of the relegation zone. It was a bad day for Rochdale. They drew 0-0 at home to Bristol Rovers, who had lost their previous 7 away games. And then into League Two, good day for Exeter City. They beat Crewe 4-0 at home, which moves them to within 4 points of Carlisle in the final automatic promotion spot. Finally, it was a bad day for Blackpool. 1-1 draw at home to Colchester means it's just 1 win in their last 9 at all competitions, and that come in the victory over Barnsley in the FA Cup. Good days, bad days for this week.
Excellent, Tom. Thank you very much. Good days, bad days done. Next, we're going to be talking about the EFL Divisional Seasons Table and looking ahead to tonight's action as well.
Burgers at Frankie and Benny's are just $5.95. That's right, burgers are just $5.95 all day, every day this February. Download our app or sign up online and we'll send you your voucher pronto. So get down to Frankie and Benny's for great taste and burgers at just $5.95. T's and C's apply, excludes double burgers.
I know what the plough looks like in the night sky. I know how Eskimos kiss. I know a time when a mullet wasn't a fish.
Of the FL72 here on Radio Yorkshire, Sam and Tom with you for another few minutes. After 7, we kick Tom out and we bring in Paul Silky Jones for proper boxing, an hour of boxing chat in the company of the great man, alongside some top guests as well tonight, Tom. Dave Caldwell joining us.
Nice.
The trainer of David Price, who, of course, gutted at the weekend to lose. He is also the trainer of Tony Bellew as well, and the McDonald twins too. So we'll get all the latest news and fallout from what happened at the weekend with Dave. And David Allen, a Yorkshire heavyweight, will join us as well. Last seen in the ring with Lewis King Kong Ortiz. So we'll find out all about that experience, plus his hopes for 2017. But right now we are cleaning up here on the FL72. Tom, tell me about this, the EFL Divisional Seasons Table. It's a bit of a long-winded name, but
it is.
What is it?
It came out, the EFL published this last week. It's quite interesting. It basically highlights the teams who have been in the division they're in for the longest period of time. It's quite interesting, actually, to think how in the Football League, with so many teams getting promoted, so many teams getting relegated, how you can stay in the same league. Now, Oldham Athletic, their fans are going to be quite familiar with League One / the third tier. They've been in for 19 consecutive seasons in League One, with the highest position they finished as fifth. So they've not realistically challenged for an automatic promotion. Average finish every season, a 14th. That's got to be not not like
it's horrible.
Yeah,
just,
imagine
it's a horrible
just kind
place
of
to go Boundary Park.
Just
it's always
playing
windy
in League
and rainy.
One, mid-table every season. It's just it's not an optimistic, bright future, really, is it? When you're in your 20th consecutive season, and to be honest, this could actually be the season they leave because they are struggling in League One as well. So yeah, bizarre. And then you look at Ipswich Town and the Championship, you think. Before McCarthy took over, they were relegation candidates. Now, I think they challenged for playoffs as well, or automatic promotion. Highest finish of third, lowest position of 15th, average finish 10th, 14 complete seasons in the second tier of English football. And Accrington Stanley, of course, a third, 10th consecutive or 11th consecutive season in League Two. So, yeah, it's just quite interesting to see how teams can stay in certain divisions for as long as they are, especially like Ipswich and Accrington, who have come quite close to promotion in recent years.
Yeah, particularly Accrington Stanley, they're 10 seasons in League Two.
Yeah.
And obviously, John Coleman's back there now, but whoever is the manager of Accrington Stanley, pretty much season on season, has to rebuild a new team because they can only afford to give people short-term contracts. They do well. They get bought by other clubs. And the cycle kind of starts again and again. So to actually stay in the division for 10 years when you've got the likes of York, who came up with a bit of money and then it all went pear-shaped and they went down, it's testament to such a small club that they keep up there. And they've had promotion challenges as well.
Yeah, I think that's more painful reading for Accrington. That's 10 complete seasons, but how agonisingly close they came. They were a goal away from finally securing promotion out of the division. It's just surprising to highlight how long these teams are actually, and especially Oldham, who, you know, it just doesn't seem to be much going for them in terms of upwards movement. So, yeah, quite interesting. It's on the EFL website if anyone wants to check it out further.
Yep, go and check that one out. And finally, Tom, we are running out of time. But, of course, we've left the best till last, the Checkatrade Trophy.
Yes.
Semi-final action tonight.
So excited. Coventry face Wickham, Luton face Yeovil. In that one, yeah.
There's games elsewhere as well.
Yeah, of course, there's games elsewhere. Wigan host Norwich in the Championship, both needing 3 points for very different reasons. MK Dons host Oldham in Skybet League One. And then Blackpool face Crawley and Leyton Orient host Morecambe in League Two. So, yeah, that's tonight's action. Of course, be a good kickstart ahead of the weekend if you can get the wins there.
Indeed, yeah, particularly interesting in the Championship where Norwich can go above Sheffield Wednesday with a win. We shall watch that one very, very closely with all of our Yorkshire sides in the mix. Thanks for listening to the show tonight. Thanks for all your interaction on Facebook as well. Still plenty of fallout going on between fans of Leeds United and Huddersfield Town over who is right, who is wrong between David Wagner. Both men, both clubs being charged today by the FA. Next up on Radio Yorkshire is proper boxing. We're kicking Tom out. In will come the superstar Paul Silky Jones for an hour of chat about the sweet science. Dave Caldwell and David Allen, the Yorkshire heavyweight, join us as well next.
On DAB Digital Radio, online and with live TV, this is Radio Yorkshire.